Hello, everyone, and welcome to another recap race analysis here on the Cycling Dane Extra Channel, or if you're listening on the Cycling Dane podcast. As always, well, it seems like always, more likely than not now, I'm joined by Audu creator Patrick, and more importantly, one third of the Echelon Cycling podcast. But of course, we're going to dissect what happened on the Giro d'Italia 2023 stage 4, and this was a very interesting one. We had three categorized climbs along the way: Remco Evenepoel and the Malia Rosa, and break up the road. And yeah, Patrick, what kind of happened on this stage?
Yeah, there was a lot of anticipation before this stage started that it could be for the breakaway, and I think that everybody sort of knew that. So it took forever for the breakaway to go. It finally went. Not even I know I kind of went all right on the descent of the first category two climb. I think it roughly went. I think it's about seven riders or so, which contained Aurelien Paré-Pentler, Albanese, Leknessen, Tom Schuins, Conchi, Gebrselassie, and also Warren Barguil. That was our breakaway of the day. They got a minute, and then they got 4 minutes up onto the second category climb. And important to know that over that first category two climb, it was Thibaut Pinot who took, well, the most amount of points, followed by Santiago Buitrago, which is very much reminiscent of what we saw in stage three, where they were both jostling it out for those mountains points. So that's clearly a little extra little story that we can be diving into later on. But eventually it was this group of seven who went into the final climb with roughly a 4 to 5 minute advantage over the peloton. And it was Warren Barguil who dropped first, and then it was Nicola Conchi, Albanese, Tom Schuins. Kind of eventually everybody was getting whittled down. Gebrselassie then dropped, and it was down to Leknessen versus Aurelien Paré-Pentler. Leknessen did drop Paré-Pentler initially. He put in one big attack and dropped him off the wheel, but Paré-Pentler managed to get back to him, and he took all of the map points over the top of the final categorized climb before they took that slight downhill and flat towards the finish line, where it looked like Paré-Pentler was really showing to Leknessen how, hey, you're the one who's going into the pink jersey here. That's on the line for you. I'm surprised they didn't create a little bit of an agreement saying, I'll win the stage and you take pink. That's kind of an agreement which has come to a lot of duos going to the finish line in the past. I'm surprised they didn't kind of clock onto that earlier, but it was Leknessen who led it out into the final kilometer, trying to hold on to this virtual Malia Rosa. And then, of course, because of that, Aurelien Paré-Pentler, who was tightening his shoes up all the way that the Boa Dials could go from the last kilometer, he sprinted about 200 meters to go, and he took his first Grand Tour stage win in spectacular fashion, I must say.
Yeah, that's true. Cool. So many achievements for many of these riders. Leknessen, I talked about it on the stream. First rider to wear the Malia Rosa for Norway since 1981, Knut Knutsen, a very long time ago. And it kind of indications that Norway are kind of like doing well. Now they've pretty much worn all the Malia Rosa, all the leaders' jerseys in the last couple of seasons, with Christoph in the Tour de France and Odd Christian Eikenaar in the Vuelta, and now Andreas Leknessen here, but the man from Tromsø. And he was also taking the bonus sprints as well, the last intermediate bonus sprint, and the points on the line as well. So that means when you look at the top 10, we've got a bit of a change. 28 seconds is the gap he has to Remco Evenepoel. Third place, moving up 31 places, is Aurelien Paré-Pentler. João Almeida moves out down. Roglic moves down, courtesy of those two. But Schuins moves into eighth place, which is quite funny when you think about it. He's not really a rider you would think of being in a top 10 in a Giro d'Italia, but it is very early on. Jay Vine moves down as well. Jay Vine had a bit of a problem earlier in the day. Patrick, one thing I thought was quite peculiar, we'll get on to the mountains classification as well, because Emmanuel Gabir, I'm very bad with his name, you're a lot better, but he almost managed to pull on that jersey as well. Well, we might as well talk about that now, and then we'll talk about the other point about Ineos afterwards. And I mean, Thibaut Pinot not being in that break, I know it's only stage four, but that he wasn't there on that second climb, there was a lot of points up for grabs here.
Yeah, there absolutely was. There were loads of points up on offer, but perhaps he was happy that he got the first ones, and mathematically they knew that he was quite safe to hold on to that jersey. But it was certainly pretty close, and it was only the fact that Emmanuel Gebrselassie got dropped that on that final climb that he didn't end up taking the mountains classification. And like you say, that would have been very historic, because of course we saw Binnie last year he was in the Maya Ciclamino, and then we would have seen maybe a different Eritrean in a different leader's jersey than Maya Azzurra at the Giro d'Italia. So that would have been really cool, but unfortunately it wasn't meant to be, because Leknessen and Aurelien Paré-Pentler were just a little bit too strong. But going into the mountains classification, Pino doesn't have that big of a lead. He is on 30 points. Gablagzabir is in second place on 26. Aurelien Palipentler is on 22 because he took that final category climb. Boitlago is in fourth on 12. And then you've got Leknesund and Tomsjoins who are both on 10 points. So there's certainly still quite a few riders in the fray here. And, you know, they've got a fair few points already to go. We were talking yesterday about how riders usually jump into this competition too late once they've dropped out of GC. Do you reckon these are the main protagonists, or do you think somebody else could come into the fray of riders here and launch a bit of a surprise?
It's the nature of the competition, isn't it? There's a lot of big points up to grabs in the third week, and we haven't really had the, well, this was a mountain stage, but like, it's probably too soon. Gebragsabir, yeah, he did a lot of work for Mads Pedersen yesterday as well, so I was quite impressed that the Trek boys were even in the breakaway. Gebragsabir, on that final, I don't know if you saw it, on the final mountains classification, it looked like he just dropped off and Skoyinj finished in front of him and Albanese as well. So that could have been the points that he needed to take the jersey. So that was a bit annoying. But yeah, Thibaut Pinot, I think we will be seeing him throughout that. Santiago Buitrago, we know that there's so many kilometers of time trialing, so he's out of the GC. He's never ridden a GC anyway, really that focused. He was up there in top 15, I think, last year, but that was more because he was in so many breakaways. Mm. But yeah, do you think anyone else is really going to feature in this? In terms of, are we going to see Remco Evenepoel, Roglic, Theo Gegenhardt, those kind of go for this? You wouldn't assume so.
It's worth noting that the, like a few years ago in the tour and stuff, when the mountaintop finishers had double points because they're a mountaintop finish, that isn't a thing in the Giro. So therefore, you know, the Remcos and stuff of the world, you know, they can't just rely upon a couple of mountaintop finishers and then they get loads of points. It does favour riders who go into the breakaway, which is, I think, a much more entertaining spectacle for fans in comparison to it just being, you know, like of a tour and stuff when you just see Pogacar and Remco and a like Vingegaard who have just won it because they win up for mountain top, like top climbs. So I think it does still favour the guys who are going into the breaks. And I think that does mean that the guys who we're seeing right now, like your Pinos, your Boitlagos, etc., I think those are the main protagonists. Of course, those two names that I just mentioned missed the breakaway today, but the fact that they've gone for them 2 days in a row, that's a correlation that we've got going on there. Boitlago didn't just go for it yesterday on a whim to try and attack over the top. He's clearly still interested in it, although Pino has taken the points away from him two times in a row now. So perhaps Boitlago might have to kind of re-strategize, because I think Bahrain would certainly like to try and get Boitlago in a couple of breaks. He, of course, won from a breakaway last year. I reckon he could do it again.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think he could potentially take a victory. And you'd love to see Pino. Warren Barguil was a bit of a shock for everyone. I think he was leading the poll as well in the stream for everyone's favorite. But yeah, not having a Giro d'Italia stage, the only one he's missing. But he's not really been the same rider since going to Team Arkea Samsic. But that's for another day. Ineos Grenadiers, yeah, we were kind of talking about it on stream. That were they playing 4D chess here? That Remco was basically isolated and they were trying to bring this back, this gap back as quickly as possible. Remco was isolated. Van Wielder was at the back. A lot of the riders were at the back. There was no attack happening. So it wasn't like they were gearing up for a Theo Gegenhardt, but say an 800 watts up the climb. So it really seemed like they were just trying to get the, bring this gap back. Or am I giving too? So they will get bringing the gap back in order to keep him in the Maliarosa. Therefore, Sudal Quickstep would have to spend more energy over these stages controlling it. Or am I being too kind? Or too, yeah, I think, and Ineos were just being Ineos.
I think there's logic in what you're saying, to be honest with you, because it would force Remco and his team to work on the front more, whereas now you're going to be seeing DSM on the front. Now, if Ineos forced Remco to stay in the Maya Rosa, Quickstep would have to remain on the front, burn up their legs a little bit, and maybe that would make Remco a bit more vulnerable. But like you say, he was isolated today. Van Wilder was dropped, Catania, Seri. Like, he was very much isolated in comparison to the Ineos boys, who had so many riders there. But, I mean, it is worth noting that despite Ineos's work, he isn't in for Maya Rosa, so therefore Ineos's plan failed. If that is what they were intending to do, they should have taken it up earlier. But they were really drilling it, because it's not like they were trying to sprint for bonus seconds, because the bonus seconds were gone. So what were you doing, sprinting for ninth? Like, there's no way that they're doing that. I know Teo's fast in a finish, but other than trying to keep Remco in the Maya Rosa, no other thing would really make sense to me other than, oh yeah, we're just going to pace his climb hard to what be in good position so that nobody can launch a surprise on us, maybe? Like, is it just a controlling thing? I don't know. It seems a bit OTT, really, to just be drilling a second cut climb on stage four now.
Where's the attack in Jos? They could have thrown. Teo lost 20 seconds. One alarming thing, we talked about Brennan McNulty yesterday. He dropped off the back again. It's not the 2022 Brennan McNulty we're seeing here, I think.
Yeah, it's strange. There's definitely kind of people are saying how maybe he will go in the breakaways and stuff like that, and I think that's certainly a possibility. But if he's getting dropped from that group when, you know, there are riders in that group who, let's face it, you'd think they'd get dropped before him. I don't know, maybe something's just not going right. I don't really know what it is. I don't have any information on it, but I think that, you know, McNulty, maybe he's just going to be going into domestique mode now. Perhaps if he looks good in the third week, he can go into a breakaway. But I reckon right now he's just kind of not feeling too great, maybe. That's my only inclination. Maybe he's feeling a little bit ill, or he's come in to this race and he's kind of not planning on being good in the first week so he can be better in the third week to support Almeida and Vine. That would be my theory.
But finishing on the stage five, looking towards tomorrow. And I mean, Patrick, it's a fairly flat stage, 171 kilometers long, two categorized climb, the intermediate sprint, and we presume the bonus sprint. And yeah, do you think it's going to be one for the sprinters?
It should be, to be honest. I know there are some climbs in there, but it's kind of quite rolling. But there's enough time for the sprinters to really, or the sprinter teams to really kind of take control of this. And, you know, even if it is a bit hilly, you know, it's not going to be hard enough for Pedersen, Matthews, and Groves to not be there. So I'd be surprised if it wasn't a sprint, especially since we, you know, the breakaway had their glory today. Pedersen hasn't got his victory yet. I'm sure that Trek will be pretty eager to try. And, you know, they've arguably been like the most active team in this race so far. I think that they'll be pretty hungry for a stage win. I reckon they'll be lining up a Pedersen lead out tomorrow.
I think the most exciting part of tomorrow's stage might be that first categorized climb. It's 11.6 kilometers from the start, so we could potentially see someone try and get those points.
Ido goes
Yeah,
from the
bye,
gun.
guys. Yeah, then you just sit up for the rest of the stage. It's a perfect plan. But anyways, with that, that's it for our race recap analysis. Of course, make sure to check out Patrick over on Aldo Cycling. That's down in the link below. And of course, as always, comment down below what you thought of stage. Was it a good idea by Remco Evenepoel to let off the Maglia Rosa? And what was Ineos Grenadiers doing? But of course, as always, hit the like button, subscribe to the channel, and we will see you around.